baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Race and Sportsbook, you are listening to another episode of the MMA Junkie Radio Podcast. I am your host, Gorgeous George, if I could only pronounce my name. And of course, sitting on the other side of me is the Goes. What's up, Goes? How you doing on a Thursday here?
Good morning, everybody. I'm doing all right.
Feels like boxing, doesn't it? UFC 243, Adesanya, Whitaker, mouthwatering. Love it. Can't wait. We'll be on the Sportscaster, by the way, folks. Mm-hmm. It's sportscaster.com/MMA Junkie. Check us out there. We'll do a watch along with you guys for UFC 243. But from there, it's just, well, the co-main event solid.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Hooker and Aya Quinta. And then after that, it's just going to be up to those fighters to entertain us because their names aren't really the star power that you're used mm-hmm. to. On pay-per-view. Now, look, much respect to a guy like Tui Vasa. You know, he's got the shoeies going on. He's had his fair share of KOs. But still, the guy across from him doesn't have that type of pop. Same thing. If you look at the card, a lot of pops lacking. So, I am getting excited, and we will talk about UFC 243 on this episode. And what we're going to do is we're going to jump around because there's a lot of news nuggets, a lot to cover, especially with Jon Jones, arguably the baddest man on the planet. So, buckle up, Junkie Nation. Here we go. It's another episode of the MMA Junkie Radio Show. All you Junkie fans, listen up. If you're looking for a sports podcast that's outside the box, where the topics are trending and all of the people speak their minds, listen to our brothers and sister over at For the Win Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and popular apps.
And to catch up with the latest news in golf, check out the Forward Press Podcast by Golf Week.
As a matter of fact, to see all the USA Today Network podcasts, including podcasts from NFL and NBA, go to podcast.usatoday.com. We'll save the preview towards the end. Right now, let's do the news nuggets first. And why? Because, again, we listen to our audience, whatever they want to hear, whatever is cracking in the sport of mixed martial arts, we try and attack it. The writers, the editors, us, everybody, the videographers. And one story that soared goes, and I don't want to play that card like I'm some undercover cop or anything like that, but I had heard this story about Frank Lester and John mm-hmm. Jones about a month ago.
Yeah.
And
I remember that.
It resurfaced. Well, yeah, I guess it surfaced actually for the general population. I had heard it and I just thought, oh, well, that sucks. Because I only heard the one version. I heard it through the version of Frank Lester's pissed, John Jones owes him money, and that's all I want to reveal for now. A few other details here and there. Oh, yeah, wow, that sucks for him, you know. But, of course, I always walk away knowing full that there's always two sides to a story. Finally, this story surface goes, and it's been everywhere, you know, especially on MMA Junkie. And that's why it's batting leadoff. Jon Jones, the UFC light heavyweight title, had a coach named Frank Lester, who I guess was part of Jackson and Winklejohn for many years. It was Jackson's MMA, now it's Jackson's Winklejohn. And so, folks, remember him from The Ultimate Fighter? He was on one of the seasons of Ultimate Fighter a while back. That's the same guy, Frank Lester. And so he was a coach. And apparently he has been a coach of Jon Jones for a while now, for however long he was an active fighter, a teammate. And things have gone sour. Because according to him, the matchup that he had at this most recent UFC here, International Fight Week, which was UFC 241, if I'm not mistaken, that. Did I get that right?
I don't think so.
239?
It might have been 39.
Yeah. 239. At that fight card, he says his fee, as one of the coaches agreed upon, was $20,000. He received $7,000 from John Jones. Therefore, he's owed $13,000. John Jones put out his – well, let me take it like this. So Frank Lester puts it in public and puts it on Instagram and a couple things. He puts out the numbers, which I just revealed, and two – and those matched, by the way, what I had heard about a month ago. Were you with me when we heard that?
Yeah.
Okay. And so those numbers matched. And the other thing he said goes was, it's on site with me and you, John. Goes, does he not realize that's John Jones?
Yeah, but it's like, it's
how
the
mean
street.
Of a son of a bitch is Frank Lester, man?
It's the street and it's Albuquerque. Who knows what that means, man, when somebody says something like that. But me, in this day and age, if somebody says that to me, I think the worst. The absolute worst.
Yeah, maybe he means, you know me, John, I always got a Louisville Slugger in my truck, or
who knows?
You know me, I'm the knife wielding character. Mm-hmm. They call him the Tank. Or does he bite people in the face? I mean, what does he do, dude?
I don't know, dude.
Like, I'm reading that and I'm like, hey, is it John the Magician? You know, the little guy?
Mm-hmm.
Dodson, or is it Jones? John Jones? Is there another John Jones, maybe?
Yeah.
That's kind of a common name. Could there be one with a J-O-H-N, a new guy that joined the team? But it's on site. Now, get this. John, who fires back, and we will probably finish with a John Jones story. He'll fire back if he's pretty pissed at you and let you know what he will do to you, you know, at some point, in or out of the octagon. He just basically backs down and says, hey, look, I've already alerted the authorities. I will not be threatened this way. If we have to go the legal route, we will. And then he puts a little plug for himself and says, we didn't agree to this. And ask anybody. I pay my coaches well. I take care of my guys far and beyond whatever you hear in the industry.
And I'm going to take the high road and not talk about your drug problem, which I thought was kind of weird.
Yeah. Now, that stuff that y'all was just telling you, the undercover cop stuff or whatever, the things we hear on the streets. That's why we're doing the Off Guard series. We're on the streets, the beat now. What I heard of what he pays other coaches is an impressive number. So far, all the numbers are jiving, and that is a pretty impressive number. So I guess I could say that so far everything's matching up. Then, yeah, John Jones takes care of the other coaches well. And why play dumb? We know that his other coaches are Jackson and Winklejohn and whatever. And I'm sure there's gym fees. Who knows? Every fighter has a different agreement. But we've heard those numbers are pretty nice. And anyway, so he denies and he threatens legal action against the former Jackson Wink coach. Because remember, Frank Lester is now a coach. Frank Lester was, when we heard this a while back, it had kind of jarred him a little bit. And again, I want to be real careful about how we explain this without revealing too much. But as you can see, he reveals that, hey, he's expecting a baby. He has a family. And he was counting on that extra 13, and so I think it was more about that money could have gone far versus you broke your word. But I also read it as you broke your word, and no one breaks their word against me. And he said it so solid that if I'm just reading it, and I'm not the guy that works the beat, and I'm on the streets and off guard and all that, if I'm just a fan and I read that, I'd be like, it sounds to me more like Frank Lester's telling the truth.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're right. There's two sides to every story.
There is, yeah.
So you got to, if you don't have all the facts, then you just got to look at the character of each guy. I don't know much about Frank Lester, but he lays everything out pretty well.
Right.
I know people who know him, and they say nothing but good things about him. If you look at John Jones and the things that John Jones has gone through in his career, then you kind of go, this seems to fall in line a little bit.
And I've heard stories of other fighters that just come up a little short when it's time mm-hmm. to square up the coach. Hey, how come you're not with that guy anymore? Well, you know, and then by the end of the story, it's like a few thousand short here or there. Folks, quick lesson, get it in writing. I mean, I'm sure you could look someone in the eye and go, 20, 13? Is that, I mean, whatever number you agree on, shake a hand. It doesn't appear to be good enough. Just get it on paper, you know, and And that'll be that. Now, see, that's where I think Frank Lester probably doesn't have goes. I don't think he has it on paper. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe he does. But now, he seems to be bouncing back nicely because he's already promoting that in 6 months he'll have his own gym. And another thing he said that, again, if I'm just a fan, it looks to me like this guy might he might be a player in the game. He said, I'm 10 times the coach of Mike Winklejohn, because he really came at Mike Winklejohn. This cost him his job there. That's why he's going to start his own thing. It's going to take him 6 months. He already found a home. But to me, he sounds kind of like a go-getter. And he says, I'm 10 times the coach. I don't know, man. It sounds to me like he's also saying this is going to be the new spot in Albuquerque. And remember, mm-hmm. your Holly Holmes, Diego Sanchez's, John Jones, all those fighters are, at least Holm and Sanchez, are upper 30s. Jones is lower 30s, but still been in the sport for a long time. If there's not a new generation of fighters coming along, you just never know what might happen, even with a big famed gym like that one. Carlos Condit, he's also rounding third base and headed for home. You know what I mean? A lot of those guys are closing chapters. We mentioned John Dotson. Again, I got to believe, same thing. If he hasn't touched third yet, he might be already rounding that base. And I mean, I know they got a plethora of fighters, but you know what I mean. So who knows? It just caught my attention. I'm going to keep an eye on that guy. I don't know him, but I'm going to keep an eye on him and just see. And who knows? Maybe we can all circle back to that post and we'll see when that new, you know, the new gym was created. And maybe this is going to be the guy that leads the charge in Albuquerque in years. Who knows?
Well, you see the way he laid it out, and he said, like, almost like, you guys are going to pay. You wait and see. I don't think you make a comment like that unless maybe you've spoken to a few fighters or something like that, and they said, you know what, when that gym's ready, I'm going over there with you. Or so, I mean, unless Frank's just a guy that just says a lot of crazy things, but from the people that I know that know him, they seem like pretty normal people. So I don't know. Like I said, go back and look at their characters. If you go back and look at John Jones' character, you're going to have a lot of reading to do.
Right. But it's on site. Let's finish with that. It's on site. What do you think that meant?
That just means when I see you,
he's also got a level head. He's got a kid coming, and he's got two kids and a wife, and he just bought a new home. So I don't think he's one of those guys that says, "Hey, man, I'll do the time."
But he addressed that. He said, "You stole from my family," and that's like one thing that I think brings something out of people where normally, if something were to happen to you or whatever, I think maybe you cooler heads prevail.
Right.
But if somebody were to maybe like shove your mom or your kid or something like that, regardless of the tale of the tape, go to battle, right?
He's even telling him, bring security.
Yeah.
Like, okay, does he got striking on Jones? I doubt that. Does he got wrestling on Jones? I doubt that. Like,
this is the number one contender doesn't have some of those things.
I just don't understand what he has here other than... since they trained close together and traveled and everything, maybe there was just this one thing that, you know how there's that one coach out there? I don't want to mention his name. I think you mentioned it on the show before prior, maybe dropped hints, but you've just said, don't get on the bad side of that guy.
Mm.
You know who I'm talking about? Starts with an R?
Kind of, I think.
Okay. Because I think you've heard enough stories of that guy's nuts.
Yeah.
Or you've seen him. You want me to keep saying who he is? Or
is it? Well, I don't want to give the initials. But, yeah, I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, okay, that guy, right? So mm-hmm. maybe he's just got that type of
maybe.
Like legendary status or who knows, man. But I don't know. I was tripping out on that. I had to reread that a few times. But there you have it, folks. That's just the big drama that's happening, that happened in our sport this week. And, of course, me being a drama king, I'll start that way. But here's something else, guys. Cub Swanson says jiu-jitsu schools declined to train him because he's fighting a Gracie. So not this week, but a week from Saturday, UFC on ESPN Plus. Oh, God, don't hold me to this. I think it's 19. They're headed to Tampa, right? And he's fighting Crone Gracie, son of the legendary Hickson Gracie, brother to the legendary Hoist Gracie. Crone Gracie's also an Abu Dhabi winner. I think it was 2017 he actually won a title. So he's one of the higher level Gracies. In terms of respected Gracies in the grappling world, along with Hodger Gracie and whoever else is at the top right now. I think some of the other ones have actually gone on and just retired. But that's struck me strange. Like, I thought we were past. Okay, you're not. Okay, so maybe for one, the Gracies also have their detractors. But two, there's a lot of people, like, I guess it's the family tree and the roots and the branches are that strong. Like, you could be removed and not be a Gracie affiliate. You could just be another school, but the Gracie name carries that much power. Like, I they think won't so. Do that. That.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. Like, he couldn't walk into Drysdale's, I guess. Drysdale's, Robert Drysdale. He couldn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think he could have done that. But, you know, now he's a family man. I think he just wanted to stay somewhat local.
Right.
And there's just certain.
Well, that's what I mean. But there's not a Drysdale there. How about a 10th planet? I don't know. Like, Eddie Bravo certainly is on the other side of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. But again, maybe from where he lives to Eddie Bravo is pretty big drive. I don't know. That to me seems a little weird. I guess I kind of get it because if you're an affiliate school and you're told that, there is something about being able to put your name, that name on your school. So I kind of get that to a certain extent. But there's just so many schools everywhere that I would imagine Cub could have found something.
Like
something
a Melanson good. Wouldn't turn him down. Bravo no. wouldn't turn him down. I guess maybe it just occurred to me, like, I think this is more of just a fun story. Like, maybe he walked into two local schools and that went down the way it is. But mm-hmm. SoCal's got a lot of bodies. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I don't see how this would be that big of a problem. I think the knowledge has been spread. Thank you, Gracies. I mean, you know what I mean?
Maybe it's a school that had particular training partners that just would have been easier or something like that. I could see
like, you know that guy, Kleber Luciano or something like that? He's in Huntington Beach. I actually drove by recently when I was in Huntington. And I could see, let's say, if Cubs in Placentia and he drives Orange County and they go, no, you know, I'm with one of the Gracies. Okay, I get that one. But, like, Tiki's gym, if he went to Huntington, he goes to Tiki's, what's Tiki going to say? Like, no. I mean,
Millennium.
Yeah, like, that was so bizarre. I wish I could talk to Cub mm-hmm. and just say, how far did this really go? Was it just the first two and they closed the door and so you had to go past, you know, the 20-mile radius of your home? Or how bad was this? Was this the whole state of California was shut down? Who knows? But incredible, man. Incredible that the Gracie family just kind of has that type of loyalty.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, is there anybody else that can wield that kind of power that you can think of? Is any other family, anything like that? No, right?
That's pretty strong, man. Who do you got in that fight?
Oof. The thing is,
Cubs lost four in a row, but Gracie's a young lion, but Cubs
he's
Cub.
He's lost by submission a lot, though. That's the thing.
And he says I'm a black belt. We had known him up until when he reached brown, but he says he's a black belt now. But is his black belt maybe just is he not keeping those tools sharp or what? Because, yeah, he has lost by submissions.
I mean, he's older now. Oh, it's just there's been certain fights where, yeah, when he gets taken down, like Frankie Edgar, he's not the biggest dude in the world, but he was able to, he had a lot of leverage on him, and he kept them down until he got what he wanted.
I'm riding with Cub on this. I think Crone is legit, and yeah, of course, if Crone takes your back, you could be in a lot of trouble, and Cub has submitted to some of the, I mean, Ortega's legit, too. You know, there's some guys that are just amazing grapplers.
Ricardo Lamas got him, too.
Right, but I think Cub can, it's not just going to be jiu-jitsu defense, it's just takedown defense, and if he can just throw hands with Gracie, then he'll be okay.
It's tough. Yeah, I mean, Gracie's a high-level grappler, but he's not a high-level fighter, and this is mixed martial arts, and Cub Swanson's a high-level fighter, so I guess, yeah, I mean, you got to go with Cub Swanson in this one.
Jared Cannonier cracked the top five. You agree? At middleweight.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's about right.
Yeah. How about that, man? You drop from light heavyweight, you go to middleweight, and along the road, you dispatch of Joker, Hermanson, you know, the fight with Anderson Silva, obviously, more on the technical side or whatever, but he's had some really, really nice wins, 4-0 since going down to middleweight. What a rejuvenation.
Yeah, no, I'm happy for him, you know, like, he's one of those guys where if you sit down and talk to him, he seems like he would be a really good role model. But he also has that little swag to him that makes him dangerous. And just the way he fights and all that. I just wish a little bit more of that swag would come out But dude's a nice guy. He's a great guy, and he's a great fighter.
Yeah, actually, he's on a 3-5 win streak. The other one was David Branch. Mm. He iced him pretty well. And all this has gone down pretty much in the last year, but that was a big move, man. 8 spots there. Hennen Burrell wants to go back to 145. What is this one of the biggest falls of from grace ever? Remember, this is one guy that about 5 years ago, we were going pound for pound, this is the number one guy. He hadn't lost in 30 fights. He was just becoming a legend. He was even surpassing his own teammate, Aldo. And now look at him. Like, he's fighting Douglas Silva de Andrade at UFC Sao Paulo. He moves back to 145, but all I'm thinking is, kid, you have train wrecked, man. You've gone off the tracks, and God bless you if you win. Great. You were at one point a champ. You can look back and be proud of that. But, man, I mean, this guy's, like, not too far behind BJ Penn in terms of the derailment from how big of a stud he was.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I think about when I think of him is how livid he must be when what happened with TJ Dillashaw happened. He might go, because a lot of people go back and point to those fights and go, whoa, you know, that was pretty brutal what happened to him. And not to blame somebody else for things that have happened in your life, but I think it's something you got to look at and go, that's something that changed his life a lot. But you're right, the fall from grace. I mean, yeah, I remember pound for pound that. I mean, even Dana White rarely comes out and says those things. He has those guys that he kind of sticks to, but I remember him kind of throwing him in the mix as well, and to see where he's at now and just trying to figure things out. And it's been pretty brutal for that kid.
Well, two things. When it comes to Dillashaw, I think we need to do the right. We need to go back. I think there's been a report where Jeff Nowitzki, who represents the UFC, mm-hmm. when, you know, with USADA issues, also had those curiosities, and he went back and cleared Dillashaw of certain fights. I can't remember that one off the top of my head, but I know he cleared the Cody fights. So, not to say he, of course, someone who was willing to cheat now couldn't have cheated then. But
they don't always get caught.
The strong
tests.
Point is that what he got, the HGH and, you know, the stuff that he got caught for now that helps you with your endurance. You do think back. I think it was around 5 versus Hennen Burrell, wasn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. So yeah, you can maybe point to something. It was round 4. Excuse me. 5 and 4 is the two fights that he lost to Dillashaw. Yes, you can raise an eyebrow, but we'd have to go back and make sure to clear that. But check this out, Goes. He was 32-1 at one point. His record now is 34-8. That means he's gone 2-7. I wasn't joking when I said he's right behind BJ Penn in terms of one of those falls from grace. He's lost 4 in a row. He's lost 6 of his last 7.
That's rough.
Horrible. Yeah. So he's going up. He's going down. Remember the last fight? Was a catch weight because he missed weight, or actually the last two versus Andre Ewell and Luke Sanders, and those are just names that haven't really established themselves. I'll never really call them cans or anything like that, but they're just fighters that we can't go and say, oh wow, well come on, he lost to Andre Ewell or Luke Sanders, nothing like that. They haven't reached that status yet, but he's lost to fighters that just we weren't saying those guys could be all-time greats or pound for pound greats or nothing like that.
But when you compare it, you brought the name BJ Penn. Is it worse than BJ Penn's?
Because,
I mean, BJ Penn, I think...
Not after what I saw with Frankie Edgar with my own eyes here at Mandalay Bay. That was sad. Like, I think Brow's going out there and he's throwing hands and, you know, whatever. But, well, I don't know. I mean, you're right. I mean, this kid missed some weight. You know, BJ's had the problems with the alleged he didn't pay Dolce or, you know, problems with coaches and then outside the octagon. Who knows, man? I mean... I would say BJ's fall from grace is greater. BJ was like being talked out as a GOAT at one point. I don't think this guy reached that. He was just at that time the number one pound for pound guy, which is still very impressive. But anyway, moving on, like John Oliver says. Kevin Lee, he's returning to the lightweight. He just told us, goes on off guard. Yeah. Remember he was touching his belly?
Yeah,
man, we're staying at welter. Because I asked him point blank. And he was grubbing his belly, and I was kind of like, you know, it would be unprofessional, but I wanted to stick my fist out and go, I feel you, dog. I like my food, too. But he's right away coming back to lightweight. This was maybe 3 weeks ago or something like that, one of our first off-guard series. And by the way, great fight versus Gregor Gillespie at UFC 244. So it's about a month away. And again, this is a kid that struggles to make lightweight. So for him to sign the dotted line, he must really, really have his weight cut under control. But what do you think of that?
For Gregor, I think Gregor's one of those guys that does something so well that he can probably beat guys that he isn't as good as a mixed martial artist. But I think he can beat them. That's a lot of guys in his division. Kevin Lee is actually one of those guys that's a bad matchup for him, I think. Gregor Gillespie's a bad matchup for a lot of people. Kevin Lee, I think, may be that one bad matchup for him, for Gregor. So I think it's going to be, I actually don't think it's going to be the most exciting fight, but tactically, I think it's going to keep us on the edge of our seats.
Kevin Lee needs the, if Kevin has addressed cardio, he has a good chance to win this fight because mm-hmm. you're right. He's got a wrestling background. He's got strength. He's a bigger kid.
Submissions.
Yes. But remember, Gregor just wears you down and then eventually, boom, he steals your soul. You know what I mean? So he's working now at TriStar, Lee is. And if they have hopefully addressed that, you're right. Kevin, I'm telling you, man, for about a round or a round and a half, that guy's an animal. And I'm talking about lightweights or welterweights, look out. But after that, he's a top 50 guy. He goes from being a top 5 guy, top 3 guy, to being a top 5 guy because he just starts to, the energy bar really has a dramatic drop off. And granted, he's still a bitch. I mean, he's still a son of a bitch to mess with, but I can't wait for that fight. That was really, really good news for me to hear because I think welterweight was too big for him, honestly. And I think 165 would be perfect, but we're not there yet. And I'm tired of hitting that drum.
And he said that he's just kind of walked away from that. What's interesting to me is when you think about it, over there at TriStar, Kevin Lee now getting some work with Friyas Sahabi. And then even Tyron Woodley is going to go over there for a little bit. Not completely, still going to work with Duke Rufus, but he's kind of gotten a liking over there. That's a camp that maybe has had a little bit of resurgence after one of the greatest of all time has retired, come back. So I think that's pretty cool for them.
Mm-hmm. Raquel Pennington did find out about the flight. She said she found out after her flight landed that the fight was off, but it's been rescheduled with Holly Holm because remember the Holly Holm injury isn't one that'll keep her out for too long of a time. She posted on Twitter and Instagram her and Tisha Torres eating cupcakes, and I guess she's okay with it. Still, again, hopefully there's some sort of a compensation there because she did hop on that plane, but God, that was just one of the sad stories I heard a few days ago.
Yeah, she's okay with it, and that would lead me to believe that something was done because I can't think of a more brutal situation than to find out coming off of a plane that fight's off, everything that was going into it and all that. You have to believe that the UFC probably did something, and she's kind of one of their favorites. So,
do you ever read a headline and then ever just tip your proverbial hat? And yeah. That you don't have to read the article, that's enough?
The headline and the picture.
Yeah, so this is, I did that recently. I'll get to this story at some point, but this was, you know, recent, and all I needed to read the headline was the headline, and I moved on. It says, why did Darren Till accept Calvin Gastelum fight at UFC 244? The quote is, go big or go home. Hey, salute.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because it does seem crazy. He's moving up to middleweight, and he's moving up to middleweight against the killer. But remember, that move pays off. If he beats Gastelum, then he's, I wouldn't say ahead of Costa. No way he's ahead of Costa. And I don't think he's ahead of Cannonier, but he's in that next group.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe he can even get himself a fight with Cannonier. Who knows? Because Cannonier's got to wait out Costa versus the winner of Adesanya.
Just knocks out a step.
It does.
But that's huge because a step can be 9 months, a year sometimes.
Shout out to Farah Hanoun. She wrote the article, and I plan on going back. But it was interesting how sometimes that can get the job done right there. All right. Let's move on to the weekend's action. We got a lot to cover there. There's a Bellator card, 229, and there's also UFC 243. Time to preview some fights. All right, guys. So I don't want to be too harsh here, but again, I think Bellator's in the same spot. Korshkov and Larkin is solid. And after that, there's a few fights that I'll watch because there's some interest, like Awad versus Yamaguchi. And I'm a big fan of Carrie Melendez. But then that's it. Paramount DAZN, 9 p.m. on October 4th. That's tomorrow, Friday. Out in Pachanga, which is a casino in Temecula. Really, really nice, by the way. Who do you like on that one? Korshkov versus Larkin. Ranked fighters, by the way.
Every time I'm a big Korshkov fan, and every time I pick Lorenz Larkin, it's just not a good performance. I think he has the style to beat Korshkov, but I just think Lorenz hasn't been able to put everything together in a fight on a consistent basis. So for me, I got to go Korshkov.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go with Larkin because speed. I'm a big proponent of speed. And I know I haven't said that as much lately, but I think Larkin has reached a point in his career where he's no longer like a guy that, hey, man, I'm still learning. I'm still getting better. I'm hitting. No, man, you've already hit your prime, and you may not have hit your prime mentally or your preparation or your psyche or whatever, but your physical will diminish. This is a young man's sport. So right around now, I think he probably looked himself in the mirror and said, okay, enough, enough. I got to beat this guy. If I'm going to factor in this welterweight, you know, scheme of getting in there versus the winner, you know, with the top dogs of Lima and McDonald or whatever.
It's a pretty deep division over there.
Or that's it. You know what I mean? Because guess what? The young cats, the young lions are going to come through and eat you alive. And I think Larkin and probably Korshkov too probably knows the same, but I'm going to go with the home field advantage. Larkin lives right up the street in Riverside. Give me that guy. All right. And don't forget to tune in. DAZN and Paramount. It's tomorrow. It's on Friday. And now moving on to Saturday. Saturday's UFC 243. We're not going to spend too much time here because a couple news nuggets are coming in. I actually was communicating with John Morgan. Our 6 a.m. to him in Australia is a whole different time. So there's a couple news nuggets that came in. But just to stay on track here, UFC 243, have you changed your mind? Adesanya versus Whitaker.
Yeah. Not so much.
Whitaker's minus 125 now. Adesanya's minus 105. When Dan Tom and I did the preview the other day, mm-hmm. It was minus 115 on each side. So Whitaker money's coming in.
Yeah, I like Adesanya because in every fight, like I felt like he wasn't there yet, but in every fight he gets better, and the leaps and bounds that he grows in between fights are pretty big, you know. So I think in this fight, I've never been 100% convinced on Robert Whittaker. I just think Robert Whittaker, like, I don't think he's one of the greatest mixed martial artists. I think he's just really tough. He's good enough in every area, and he doesn't back down. I think a guy like Israel Adesanya can maybe find those holes and expose those type of things. Now, if Robert Whittaker wants to become, if he wants to use every trick in his bag, he can maybe make a rough night for Israel Adesanya. But like I said, those growths that he has in between fights, I feel like he'll shore things up. And I have Israel Adesanya on this one.
Me too. I'm going with the leg kicks and the pressure. I think Adesanya's pressure is going to get to Whittaker. And Whittaker hasn't fought in 18 months. Mm-hmm. I still think there's something to be said for that. That's a long time. Whereas Adesanya's been streaking. I mean, he is just, if anything, it's been a few months since he fought because he was on, a 6-fight and 18-month run. And I think when you're just gelling like that, as long as you're healthy, I mean, that fluidity, your timing, this guy just seems like confident. He's not even afraid of the bright lights or anything. I'm going with that guy, man. Give me Adesanya. I know that Whittaker supposedly might resort to some wrestling. Finally, he doesn't have to worry about someone taking him down, but yet he might put that fear into somebody else. And, you know, he wrestled a little bit down in Australia. That might come out, but Adesanya's been, he's faced guys that have come from wrestling backgrounds, and he's actually been able to handle himself all right. So I think he can thwart that and just stand. You know what I mean? And not that he hasn't been knocked out. He's been knocked out in kickboxing. He's been knocked down in MMA. And Whittaker has that type of power, but I still think Adesanya is going to be the one that implements his game plan and stops Whittaker.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Goes, how about this? Hooker, Dan Hooker, minus 165 versus Ally Quinta, plus 135. Who do you like on that one?
I like Ally Quinta. Dan Hooker's tough, but Ally Quinta is a smart fighter. I don't think he gets credit for his game plans, for being able to keep things together in a fight. I have Ally Quinta in this one.
All right, tune in, folks, on Saturday for this pay-per-view. It's the same normal time. They'll adjust out in Melbourne, Australia. To us, it'll be a Sunday affair for them. But for us, Saturday, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. And don't forget to catch Goz and I on Sportscaster. We will be doing a watch-along for UFC 243. Now, Goz, I've been communicating with John Morgan because of the time change. I happen to ask him, just out of curiosity, are they going to break the record? The record's like 56, 55,000 or something like that with Holly Holm and Ronda Rousey. They're going to that same stadium. It's called Marvel Stadium. And even though they sold 40,000 out of the gate, John says there hasn't been any really reports of them cracking the 45 barrier or 50 barrier. He says he's thinking they'll get to 50, but he still doesn't feel any certainty as far as, like, can they really, you know, get that extra 6,000? Who knows if there'll be a late push or what? What do you think? I know you're not there, but just, you know, like, let's have fun with it. Yes or no? Do they break it?
If I'm in their position, if I'm in the UFC's position and I'm coming close to a record like that, man, don't you just
hit the streets? Just give away tickets?
Well, I don't know if they count that way, right? I think they have to be purchased.
How many are in attendance?
So I would imagine, yeah.
No, I think it's in attendance. I don't know.
If that's the case, then yeah.
Boys and girls or club, you lower the military.
The price. The military, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You figure out a way to hit
that $10 mark. Ticket, right? The $10, mm-hmm. Come on, what are you going to do? You going to sit at home? You going to sit at a bar? Come in.
Charity, I think, is a good way to go. But, yeah, I would imagine that if you're in that position to break a record like that, you just make it happen.
Yeah. So I asked him what you're working on. Then a couple stories popped up. Get this. Dana White says he'd be open to John Jones versus Adesanya. Remember I said we'd want to finish with a John Jones story. Well, this is one of the last things we're going to cover here. But Jones versus Adesanya, exciting, right? To just think about the possible future. Even though we still got the Whitaker matchup ahead of us, and
it depends.
Jones has a matchup ahead of him for him as well.
For you, is it exciting now? Because for me, it's not. It's exciting for maybe a year or two from now, but I don't know that Israel Adesanya. Like I said, the guy's improving every fight, but I don't know if that warrants a fight against one of the greatest of all time. I mean, it kind of reminds me of boxing, where Floyd Mayweather. Anytime a matchup like a Canelo Alvarez, hey, that guy's getting good. Let me get him now before he gets too good. Mm-hmm. I think it's brilliant on John Jones' part. John Jones is his biggest dance partner. Daniel Cormier hasn't been paying attention to him at all, so he needs a new dance partner. I would.
And he's kind of shut him down. He's saying, Stipe's my last fight, and that's it.
Yeah, I think anything you can get from anyone else, I think you bite on it. I think John Jones is brilliant in doing this. But I don't know that Israel Adesanya is ready for a matchup like that right now.
Mm-hmm. All right. If you don't mind forecasting still, how about Habib's dad? Habib's dad says, hey, we're open to the McGregor matchup. If McGregor wants it, Moscow is waiting.
It irritates me. I mean, what I don't understand.
Actually, before you answer that, let me tell you one other thing. Dana White had done an Instagram Live or something like that, and he actually said, I love that he actually answered this the way he did. He says, I'm open to GSP versus Habib after he fights Tony. So at least you don't have to sweat that one. Hardcore fans, right? Tony gets his matchup. We get Habib versus Tony finally. And then he said, I'd be open to GSP. But doesn't it seem like Conor's almost like the third play for Habib? Or I guess my question to you would be, would you want to see that before GSP versus Habib?
No. No, I'd rather see GSP. The thing with Conor, what I don't understand is, A, he doesn't deserve it, and B, one of the things that Khabib and his camp have come out and said is, like, the dude has just made really, really hurtful comments, and we don't want to keep building him. You know, you're basically putting money in his pocket by giving him this type of matchup. And I think they've already proved their point in the cage. Like, make him go back and earn his way back up, but to kind of surrender to a matchup just because it's in Moscow, to me that doesn't seem like you're sticking with what the things that you've been saying.
Also, isn't McGregor pretty much
then it comes down Vegas to money again,
or
right?
New York guy, right? Because mm-hmm. if something was going to go down in Europe, wasn't he going to get his stadium show in Dublin? And that just never happened.
Yeah,
but plus that, and he's not calling the shots. Hey, and one other thing. I thought McGregor was genius. All right, I know sometimes I don't agree with a lot of the things he does or says, or he's just like, come on, you know, he's always bullshitting. But did you see that tweet where he put out, so when is this interim BMF fight going down again. I thought that was hilarious. It was perfect. He said it almost like, I'm so rich and powerful that when is this again? I don't even know the dates of these events. You know, I'll watch, obviously, but when is it again? Somebody, my assistant or, you know, some hack out there, give me a quick reminder of when the interim title is. And because he does have the one win and most recent win over one of the participants, he kind of can say that, almost like, you guys are playing out the interim, and then, I'm the real one here. Mm-hmm. I thought it was I was laughing.
It was good. It was funny. If you look at the comments after, a couple guys came at him, and I thought that was pretty decent exchange too. But
only Habib can come at him. Other than that, who can else come at him?
The problem. Okay, so like Dustin Poirier came at him, right?
What did he say?
And
I missed it.
He was talking about his record. You know, he's like, dude, you haven't won a fight in forever.
He lost to him, though.
That's true. Yeah. But is right.
Like Max can't come at him and Poirier come at him.
Yeah. And then I think didn't somebody else say that fight was a few years ago against Mayweather and you got trounced or something? I can't remember who said that one or whatever. So there's been a few.
All right. I mean, I'm sure there was some clever replies. I thought that was a monster.
Yeah, I thought it was a good
one. That was a really good one. Adesanya says, fuck the belt. Real gold is beating Whittaker. What do you think of that comment?
I think it's just kind of unnecessary. Even if you believe it.
Yeah.
I think there's just not much to gain from it.
Dude, has anybody ever seen when an NFL team wins the Super Bowl and they play that song? You know which one I'm talking about? The...
Oh, when they're walking up?
And they're walking it up and people are touching the trophy. It should be about that, man. It should be about being the best in the world at what you do at some point. I love the Yellow Jackets for the NFL Hall. The NFL does it perfectly. Somehow these fighters have to realize it all comes down to that. The money will come with it. You got to figure that out. Some of you, maybe that aren't as marketable, but concentrate on the gold. Not these silly comments or whatever. Concentrate on that. I'm telling you, that's the number one thing you can ever do in any sport. And I wish he would focus more on that because I think he's going to win. He's my pick. But I saw that comment. I was like, what?
Yeah. There's just nothing to gain from it.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. I think we went a little OT ourselves, Ghost. We got to bounce on out of here. We'll be on the Sportscaster again, folks. UFC 243 this Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. So please go to www.sportscaster. I'll spell it out, SportesCaster. No E at the end. Sportscaster.com/MMAJunkie. We'll be doing a watch along. If you ordered UFC 243, watch along with us. If you didn't, let us be your eyes and ears for the event. Saturday, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, huge main event. Robert Whittaker, the undisputed middleweight champion, versus Israel Adesanya, the interim middleweight champion. So these two cats will be unifying their titles. And keep it locked on MMA Junkie throughout the weekend. John Morgan, Ken Hathaway are down there for coverage there. Dave Doyle is in Temecula for Bellator 229. So again, we got you covered. And follow us on all our social media fronts for Goz and I. It's the same at the Goz for him, at MMA Junkie George for me on Twitter and Instagram. And don't be lazy. You can find us on Facebook. We're not hard to find. We're out of here, folks. Go out there and be a champion.